Hey, I'm Kevin Pettit.
And I'm Martin Frazier.
And we are Loud Americans Discussing Soccer, better known as Lads. Lads. Oh, honestly, I regret my drink choice. I thought this was going to be good.
I do not regret mine, but I very much regret mine.
Yeah, but at least yours will get you drunk. Okay, today is June 9th, 2021. Happy Wednesday. Martin, the lads are back. We have...
Dude, where has time gone? I swear, like, you just said June 2021, June 9th, 2021, and I feel like we time traveled right here, right now. Like, I'm pretty sure yesterday we just started this, John, in your bedroom in South Philadelphia.
I feel like we just fucking Thanos snapped a fucking finger. Like,
seriously.
We've been getting so many DMs, so many who messaged us like, hey, when are you guys going to be back on the pod? I'm like, oh, we just podded like last week. No, we haven't. We haven't podded in like a month. Like, I'm sorry. This past month has been a blur. There's been a lot of stuff going on in both mine and Martin's lives. And obviously, there's been tons of soccer that's actually been going on. End of season, Champions League, CONCACAF even. Martin even mentioned, like, I guess we have to talk about that. And now we are now just 3 days. I guess it's Wednesday when I'm going to be posting this. So 2 days away from the Euros, Martin. Wow, that happened really quick. Life, if you don't turn around and appreciate it, it'll pass you by, whatever Ferris Bueller says. Yeah, that was fucking quick.
Yeah, it's like a box of chocolates. You open one and the box is done. It feels like we just started this season. It feels like we were just bitching about Manchester City having an insurmountable lead in March. Feels like we were wondering if the Euros were even going to happen. The Champions League final was being
Super
debated
League?
Where it could
Remember
be.
The Super
yeah,
League?
The Super League fucking
that was a thing
like a month ago. Like, man.
That was like three months ago now, Martin.
Dude, whoever said appreciate your time when you're a kid because life will just fly when you're adult. True words have never been spoken because, I mean, the season's over. We're going to, you know, watch the Euros this coming weekend and throughout June. But, man, in a snap of a finger, we're going to have another fucking season of Prem all over again. Not complaining, but shoot, slow down, please.
I don't know what to say besides, like, our bad, like, that it just snuck up on us. You know, 1 week we're like, oh, let's take this week off, and then, you know, we get busy, we get tired, work's been crazy for both of us, personal lives and shit, and then next thing is like, oh, let's take this week off. It's nice. It's not like we don't want to do this show. It's just like when it's like 9 o'clock on a Tuesday night, I'm like, dude, I just want to like play some Call of Duty or some fucking or watch dumbass YouTube videos and take an edible. Like, I'm just tired. I am just exhausted. But hey, we're back, and we still love soccer. We still fucking love the shit out of soccer. It's not like we haven't been, like, still tweeting, going on Instagram, group chatting, going on our Discord channel, and talking to people about it. It's just the podcast has been something we just let get out of our way. So, sorry about that. We are officially back. We've had tons of people, you know, when's the Champions League recap coming out? When are you guys going to do your end of the season review? Here it is. We are doing it. We are doing it right fucking now. So let's just kick this off. Let's do this. We got tons of fan questions. We got tons of people, you know, wanting to hear this show and our dumbass voices. So here we go. Martin, Champions League final, Chelsea are your 2021 victors. 1-0 affair from a Kai Havertz goal and an unreal Mason Mount pass. Thoughts on the game?
Yeah, I mean, I think for the first 20 minutes, it was an absolute haymaker fest. It was a fun match of soccer, and that took me by surprise. I mean, if you guys listen to me at any point, I thought this English League final between Chelsea and Manchester City was going to be a bore fest, just like Tottenham and Liverpool was a couple years ago. But those first 20 minutes, I mean, the punches were fucking flying. It was a blast to watch. And then, you know, the middle period of the game, it kind of died out. Kai Havertz obviously got that gorgeous tap around Ederson and the goal into the empty net supplied by a pass from Mason Mount, like you said. And that you know, it seemed to be the icing on the cake for Chelsea. I don't think anybody truly expected them to give City a hard time. And especially in the defensive scheme that Tuchel put out, they did an excellent job of repelling all attacks that Manchester City and Pep Guardiola were able to mastermind. And that was kind of the statement at the end of this fucking game. I mean, for everything Manchester City did, Chelsea had that answer. And I think this was the game that they looked the absolute best defensively. You know, if you go back through the whole season of the Champions League, even the Prem, Chelsea's defense was never really their sterling point of their team. But they looked unbeatable. Rudiger played his absolute balls off. Christensen came in for the injured Thiago Silva and stepped the heck up. Obviously, Benny Chilwell, Reece James, they had excellent games. So I think Chelsea as a squad did fantastic.
You haven't even mentioned the main defense, N'Golo Kanté.
Yeah. Dude, remember when we were talking about 3-4 years ago about how he might be the best player in the world and nobody wants to admit it? This man, and I was one of those people, this man is an absolute clinic on the pitch. He is the perfect engine room for any midfielder. The defense work that he does and the attack work that he now does as well is unparalleled in any other team. The only person that, you know, brings similarities is Casemiro on Real Madrid, Savage on Atletico Madrid, and Ander Herrera, you know, 4 years ago for Manchester United. But N'Golo Kanté is in a league of his own.
I can't believe you just put Andy Herrera in the same breath. But anyway, I will let that slide. I guess I will let that slide because he is a pit bull on the pitch. I don't think he's anywhere. And N'Golo Kanté might not only be one of the greatest central defensive midfielders, he might be one of the greatest midfielders in this generation. I mean, obviously, he's not going to have, you know, the passing and scoring and assisting, but doesn't matter if he's so good at just that one position. Can he be in that conversation with, like, you know, the Toni Kroos's, the Modric and the Busquets and, you know, of that, even if they don't provide the actual, like, stats on the field? You know what I mean? I got to say, Martin, the one thing I kind of noticed was that when the lineups came out for City, Martin, that a lot of City fans were like, what the fuck? And I mean, even Chelsea fans were like, you are playing right into our hands. Yeah. I saw a lot of my Man City friends all say, what are you doing? Why are you starting an out of form Raheem Sterling? Which Raheem Sterling was fucking awful on the pitch. He was horrible. How do you not start Aguero, Martin? How do you not start Aguero?
I would certainly start Rath.
You gave him 20 minutes. You gave him what, like 20 minutes on the pitch? The substitutions were horrible. You didn't start a central defensive midfield. So you didn't start, what's it called, Rodri or Fernandinho, like two guys who have come out and showed out for you for the Champions League. I think, again, this was another Pep hadn't done this all Champions League where he out-pepped himself and like changed up the lineup. And he did it for the final, Martin. And it wasn't one of his crazier changes, but it was significant enough to you can look at and be like, Pep, what are you doing? Because every analyst, everybody I know, were really picking Man City to finally be like, this is it. You're finally going to get over the hump. And Pep really out-pepped himself this time, man. Again, in the biggest stage.
Yeah, I think that if you look at Pep's squad selection in the Prem, he is constantly rotating his squad and changing his tactics, changing his formations. And I think that works all well and good in the Prem where you just have that, you know, week in, week out of games where you can fucking play that rotating squad because everybody's comfortable with the opponents that they're playing. Everybody, you know, expects a turn in a couple weeks because they know that he's trying to avoid fatigue. But I think it is a huge detriment for Pep to change his formation so drastically in a final. And obviously he has history doing this going back to the semis, going back to the quarterfinals with Manchester City, where he has tweaked it a little bit too much. Pep has out-pepped himself. And I think that everybody was a bit surprised that he did it in the final because, like you said, I thought this was the year that I was going to quit watching soccer. I thought Manchester City was actually going to win this shit. And if you look at the squad on paper, they're the better squad. He's the better coach.
What person on that Chelsea squad, besides probably N'Golo Kanté, gets into that starting 11 at Man City, Martin?
Agreed. And that's why, you know, the old adage of, anything can happen on game day, 90 minutes, anything can freaking happen. So for Pep not to start his strongest ever lineup that he could is baffling. I mean, even if players are fighting through injury, still start them. I mean, Manchester United obviously lost the Europa League final, but Ole Gunnar Solskjaer started the strongest lineup that he could possibly field in that moment. And I am confused by
Pep Guardiola. You were going up against Unai Emery in the Europa League. You forgot that, Martin. You were going up against
you, Kev.
You would have beat us.
I know.
I'm just saying, you were going up against, you know, masterclass Unai Emery, winning his fourth Europa League title. What the fuck? That's pretty fucking wild. You know, say what you want about Unai Emery, but Jesus Christ, that man has owned that competition from day one. And shout out to Villarreal. Good for them.
Yeah. Oh, hell yeah. I think this is like their first trophy since the 80s or the 90s. And the feel-good part of me, really enjoys that type of atmosphere and that type of victory. And obviously, I was fucked up from Manchester United losing. But Kev, and I don't know if this is the same for you, but Europa League final, I mean, it'd be nice if we won, but I'm not as messed up, nearly as messed up as Manchester City fans out there. So to all the Manchester City fans out there, first off,
thoughts and prayers. we're laughing. Oh, I was like, thoughts.
No, and I was doing. Secondly, I sent this to one City fan in particular. Losing a final is the worst pain that you can experience as a soccer fan. I mean, it just breaks you to a completely new level. And Manchester City has come so close in the past years, and this seemed to be their year. And for them to fall short, it is heartbreaking. But I mean, trust the system. You guys are going to be back. Manchester City does not seem to be the team that's going to just fall out of Champions League contention.
Martin, let's talk some positives for Man City. One, you can't make the joke anymore that Dua Lipa has been to more Champions League finals than you. You can't make that joke. That's good. Two, you're probably going to get Harry Kane now.
Yeah.
Because Tottenham have fucked up getting Antonio Conte like it was predicted they would. You got Kevin De Bruyne who got knocked the fuck out during the match. That was a massive blow. It just, everything that could go Chelsea's way and could go wrong for City happened. Did it also happen because Pep, he didn't set them up for failure? I mean, with the talent on the field, they should have won and had way more shots on target. Agreed. I think they had two shots on target the whole match after all the money spent and all that talent all on the field. I don't know. I thought KDB was poor prior to the injury. I mean, I feel like he's getting a lot of scapegoating, and I've been the biggest Kevin De Bruyne fan. I'm a ginger fuck like Kevin De Bruyne. I like KDB a lot. But I thought he was poor prior to the injury with Rudiger, where he got literally knocked the fuck out. I don't know. I don't know what happened. It was kind of weird. Like the first 20 minutes, like you're saying, Martin, were so actiony. And then afterwards, it was just kind of like a lull for the longest time. And you got to say, like, Tuchel, you know, he got it done. He was also like had, you know, a lot of storyline go for him, losing the final the year before, coming back with a whole new squad halfway through the season and winning the Champions League final. I mean, Martin, I know you haven't been that high on Tuchel. And yes, maybe is it some type of luck? But if you look at the teams he had to go through, he went through all of La Liga, essentially. And
he didn't go through Villarreal. I think that's the true test.
Yeah, I mean, if we're going to be... I mean, come on. Atletico, Real. I mean, I know they got Porto, whatever. But, like, and then beating Man City, who I still think, next to probably Bayern Munich, are the best team in Europe. Even with this Champions League loss, I still think I would still rate them in at least the top three teams in Europe.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, the Tuchel haters are furious. Christian Pulisic got a Champions League trophy, which was kind of cool. He also won the CONCACAF, which we'll get to. But yeah, a lot of cool storylines here. Mendy, the goalkeeper for Chelsea, was literally like, I saw his story. His story was crazy. Like just 10 years ago, he was in like league nothing, and now he's winning a Champions League final. So there's a lot of cool stories. Thiago Silva getting over that hump. Awesome.
Yeah.
Like, there are some really cool things that came out of this. And again, are we that surprised? I mean, Chelsea have a good history in Europe. So I don't know. It was a cool final. I love because it gives the Premier League, you know, solidifies them as the top league in the world, as they should be. But, you know, it was kind of weird.
Yeah, I think, and this is just me, but my dream Champions League final is always going to be an English team versus an Italian team, an English team versus a Spanish team, an English team versus a German team. I think that, you know, for the past two finals where it has been an all English affair, the game has kind of been pretty fucking boring. And so
this wasn't Tottenham Liverpool bad though, by any means.
No way at all. But I do think that and like I said, this is just me and my stupid ass old man opinion. But I some of the allure of Champions League is seeing the champions of, you know, Italy playing the champions of England or something like that.
Milan and maybe versus Liverpool, you know.
Yeah. And that's
United
that's
versus just, Bayern.
Yeah, and it just adds more of a storyline to it also. When this final happened, like, fuck, I just watched Chelsea play Manchester City 2 weeks prior. So it didn't feel like it was special or anything like that, but it obviously is to any Chelsea fan out there, any Manchester City fan out there. So I cannot wait for next season's Champions League. To your Tuchel point, I mean, it's pretty hard to talk shit on the man, but I've found a way, and I'm going to continue to find a way. He almost threw away third and fourth place on the final day of the season. So, I mean, that's pretty fucking ridiculous that he let Liverpool get into the top four. So I'm pretty bummed about that. But
I'm sure he's fine. I am sure.
Yeah, I'm
even
sure
if
he's totally okay.
I'm pretty sure even if he got fifth and got the Champions League, I'm not sure Abramovich would be, all right, you're getting sacked. But then again, I don't know. Abramovich is fucking nuts. So also,
yeah, right. He still might get sacked.
Also kind of nuts that the first time Tuchel met Abramovich was at the Champions League final. That's kind of hilarious.
Really?
Yeah, that's what.
That's weird as shit.
Yeah, that's what reports are saying. And I was like, oh, well, you know. He's a Russian oligarch doing sketchy shit. You know, doesn't have enough time to meet. You know, he hires a manager each year. He can't meet all of them, Martin.
That's true. I mean, that would be like 3 hours out of his year every single year. And he just can't fucking handle that. I got one fun fact about the Champions League. German coaches have completed a hat trick of Champions Leagues. A German coach has won the last three Champions League. It started off with Jürgen Bergen Klopp, then it jumped to Hansi Flick, and now Thomas the Train Tuchel. So the Germans are doing something right, even though they're not in the final, they're still in the final. And it seems like this latest, these latest coaches to come from the Bundesliga or come from German roots are just, you know, leaps and bounds ahead of their compatriots in whether it's England or Italy or Spain. I mean, you look at the coaching carousel in the Bundesliga this year, and it's almost like every single manager has stepped up into a better team, and they're all young German managers, which is really fucking fun to watch. So I thought that was an interesting tidbit about the Champions League final. And man, I can't wait to get out of group stage next year.
Yeah, I mean, I also think this really helps Chelsea of transfers. I mean, not that you've ever been hindered by it, but, you know, winning a Champions League final, I've now heard millions of rumors that Erling Haaland is set to join Chelsea now, like, for sure, when he wasn't really in the conversation to be going there prior. I've even heard Harry Kane, which I think that won't happen just because I don't think Harry Kane's going to take losing his, you know, reputation at Tottenham by going to a London rival. But then again, he wants to win trophies. And I think Chelsea, you know, if they make a few more signings, possibly Martin are right there in the title race next year with Thomas Tuchel at the helm. So I don't know. I think this could have really cool. Man City will always be fine. They'll spend the money, get whomever, you know. But for Chelsea, I think this was really big for them in terms of, like, you know, trying to lure in some talent. So, I don't know. And Kai Havertz starting to look really great, man. Like, he started off kind of sore, and like that Champions League final, that goal could be really the start. Could that be the start of like something very special for him? So, I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. But hey. Do we want to do kind of our Premier League year in review, like manager of the year, player of the year? I'm trying to think. Just like some
goal of the year. Hell yeah, let's talk about our favorite moments. You want to start from the tippity top and do coach of the year so far? Or so far, I guess it's fucking over.
I will say I will announce who won the PFA Players and Coach of the Year. So PFA Coach of the Year was Pep Guardiola. PFA Player of the Year was Ruben Diaz.
That's so stupid.
And I disagree with both of those. Yeah. I believe in my heart of hearts that it is our guy, David Moyes, at West Ham. I think he is undeniably deserving of that award for what he was able to do with a relegating looking side and make them into Europe, almost top four. And then Player of the Year, this is a no-brainer, it's Harry Kane. Goal leader, assist leader, won both the Golden Boot and the Playmaker of the Year. I think we're going to look back on this like the Oscars when, you know, Crash won and Brokeback Mountain didn't win the Oscar, or when Shakespeare in Love won over Saving Private Ryan. We're going to look back at this and be like, how did they fuck up this award so bad?
Well, the journalists are always awful when it comes to the PFA Player of the Year. We've talked about this time and time again. They literally select a random person from the winning team and pick the winning coach of the Prem, and that's their PFA Player and Coach of the Year. Kev, you said Harry Kane and David Moyes. And I got to agree with you on Harry Kane. I mean, the most assists in the Prem and the most goals in the Prem, and the man's a forward. And that doesn't even take into account his newfound penchants for distributing the ball in the midfield, which I think he improved immensely under Jose Mourinho. I'm just going to run through a couple other names that I think definitely deserve to be on the short list. And guess what? Ruben Diaz's name is not on that fucking list.
I think he should be in the discussion. I think Ruben Diaz, his influence on the defense of Man City, I think he was unbelievable, but deserving a PFA the Player of the Year was not even in my radar. Not how Virgil van Dijk was, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's the exact point I wanted to make. Like, we all kind of scoffed at the idea that Virgil van Dijk would win a Player of the Year. Solely because it just rarely goes to defenders. So if Virgil van Dijk didn't win it, if Rio didn't win it, if Terry didn't win it, I mean, look, just because Ruben Diaz is the new cute star of Pep's back line doesn't make him automatically the bee's knees. I think it was a giant collective effort by the defense, not necessarily Ruben Diaz. I thought for large periods of time throughout this season, John Stones was the best defender that they had. So I think that the Ruben Diaz pick was foolish. I thought there were better players on Manchester City that you could give it to. I thought there were better players throughout the league that you could easily give it to. But, you know, here we are living in 2021, and the first defender to win the PFA Player of the Year is Ruben Diaz, and it just feels wholly undeserved. And going to the coach. So I got the same mindset as you, where Pep Guardiola, yeah, okay, I guess. It's an easy choice. It's a choice. It's not necessarily...
Martin, I do want to state that Virgil van Dijk did win PFA Player of the Year a couple of seasons ago. That's why... Just to clarify.
Oh shit! I thought he fucking lost out. My bad. Anyway.
No. I just wanted to state, because I thought his was deserving and it was so rare. I didn't see that from Ruben Diaz. That was the point I was trying to make. Just because I know there's some people probably around here being like, "What the fuck?" I'm like, no. Like Virgil van Dijk.
I was agreeing on the end point. Like if VVD didn't win it, then Diaz definitely did not deserve it. So I was agreeing on the end point. I think that Ruben Diaz, it didn't feel right to me. But jumping to the manager, I've got the same mindset that you have, where Pep is an easy choice. Yeah, it could be the right choice. But I want to slip down the pecking order and look at the coaches that overachieved, not achieved what was expected of them. David Moyes is a fucking fantastic choice. I'd also throw Brendan Rodgers into the conversation as well for his ability to keep Leicester in the top four until the final day of the year for the second season in a row. It takes talent, man. And my pick at the end of the day is Bielsa. I think that Marco Bielsa was just absolutely phenomenal this year. From the beginning of the season, his tactics were criticized. His strength and conditioning workouts were criticized. His players' performances were criticized. People were assuming that they were going to gas themselves out and be relegation fodder. And the fact of the matter is they were sitting at mid-table or higher 90% of the time in the Prem. They were the most fun fucking team to watch in the Prem. And Biesla took a ragtag group from the championship and put them in 10th place and kept them in 10th place. They did not fight a single relegation worry the entire fucking season. Some of their players, like Luke Aisling, I mean, just a phenomenal player development throughout the season itself. And Biesla was just a fucking character. So similar reasons as David Moyes's, but I can't vote for David Moyes's just like you can't vote for Marco Biesla. So we're on either side of the fucking island here.
Well, I do think Brendan Rodgers deserves a shout as well. I just think you can't give it to him because he fucking flubbed top four again.
Yeah, like, again.
Like if he got top four and got over that hump, I'd be like, all right, I consider you more. But because he fucked up top four again, I'm like, God, this guy. Come on.
Yeah.
I'm rooting for you, Brendan. So, yeah. And then I think goal of the season for me has to be that Lamela goal. I mean, that Panenka was fucking disgusting. I think that's probably going to win goal of the year.
Yeah, that one split my fucking brain. That shit was just out of this world fucking cool. The only other one that springs to my mind is Cavani's audacious chip. I think it was against Brighton, maybe? Some B team, I think. Like from 40 yards out, he chipped him perfectly, and Cavani had tried that like three times prior in the season and hit the crossbar each time, and he finally fucking got that chink dink perfect, and it was gorgeous to fucking watch. Just that slow motion chip, mwah, mwah, like mama used to make it.
Yeah, that was honestly very, very nice to watch. Very beautiful by Cavani.
Cavani.
Okay, so let's move on to CONCACAF, and then we'll move into the actual stuff we want to talk about, Euros. So Martin brought this up before the show. We normally don't really talk that much, you know, USA stuff. We'll talk about US men's national team here and there, but our real interest is like Premier League and like over in the top five leagues in Europe. There are tons of other shows. We have tons of other friends who cover that stuff and are very, very more much more passionate than we are. But hey, the Mexico versus USA game was fucking awesome. It was end-to-end stuff, fans chanting crazy stuff, throwing beers, people getting in their faces. What was it, 7 minutes of extra time, a shootout, Pulisic ripping his shirt off. It was high-octane stuff. And at the end of the day, U.S. men's national team won. So pretty cool stuff. Great for American soccer. Great for the U.S. men's national team's confidence, especially World Cup qualifiers coming up. But Martin, what were your thoughts?
I think you hit the nail on the head. It was just one of those fun, wild games to watch. Like the best person or the best fan in those situations is the neutral fan. And in this case, the USA fan, obviously, because they won. But I mean, from the first minute, Mexico opened the scoring in the second minute with Jesus Corona opening up the scoring for Mexico. And I was like, oh, shit, here we go again. El Tri, okay, here we go. We go losing again. I was talking shit about Greg Berhalter in my fucking head all night. I was like, this guy sucks. There's nothing that we can do. And he finally started a bunch of youngsters coming back from overseas. Joshy Sargent got the start. Stefan got the start and was subsequently injured, but I'll get to that in a second. So a bunch of these new promising kids that are plying their trade over in Europe finally got the start and finally played together for the first time in quite some time, and it was fun to watch, man. The equalizer came in the second half, and of course I missed the equalizer, so I was watching a tied game for 40 minutes with the utmost fascination. Like this goes to show that a 1-0 game can be awesome, a 1-1 game can be awesome, a 2-1 game can be awesome. And not to jump back to the Champions League real quick, but that's not what we saw back then. And so I think with a little bit more freedom of expression and tactics, we could be seeing that shit all the fucking time in the Champions League final, but it's a little too valuable. So it makes sense. But this shit, it was balls to the wall. It was a blast. Fans were getting involved. VAR was showing its ugly face. The ref was making mistakes. It was the perfect storm for fans to start throwing beer cans, beer bottles, water bottles at the players. And dude, for all the niceties in this world, and yeah, we need to be more respectful to soccer players in general, especially with fandom interactions like that, chucking shit at them after they score or something like that. But there is a small part of me that just loves the manic fucking energy. Like, you could feel the fucking stadium 30,000 miles or 3,000 miles away, right here in my house. And it was just absolutely frenzied from the first to the last moment. And Kev, like you said, Christian got himself a winner, went down in the box in like the 115th or the 117th minute. But by what looked like a pretty tough foul, they check VAR, they check VAR, they check VAR, finally give him the free kick. And the boy wonder puts it top right, total motherfucking 90, takes off screaming, tearing off his shirt, and man,
Ronaldo-esque.
For a very split second, I became a USA fan for a very split second. I was like, yeah, that's my boy, Blue. You're my boy, red, white, and blue. Go, Christian. And then, obviously, all the Mexican fans were chucking beer bottles, and I think what's his name, that youngster, I can never remember Gio Reyna, got hit in the head, and he looked dazed and fucked up for a bit. So it was just a crazy atmosphere. And then Mexico in the 118th 19th minute, they get a penalty. Now Zach Steffen's gone off injured, so my main man Horvath, who I've never heard of before, I have no idea where he plays, is between the sticks for a last
probably
minute
MLS.
Penalty.
It's probably, we don't know where he,
yeah,
you know,
exactly. Yeah. Okay. So an MLS goalkeeper is standing up in the 120th minute against Mexico. And I just cannot even imagine the pressure. The penalty kick is taken. He dives to his right, does a phenomenal save, pushes that ball out wide to the right of his box. And oh my God, the crowd went absolutely insane. The Mexico crowd was absolutely stunned. Like, you could hear the silence, and the couple Americans in the crowd were just losing their freaking mind. The entire defense was running over to Horvath. I mean, it was just a feel great game. We talk about feel good games. This was an awesome game to be.
It had like Miracle on Ice vibes. And not that they're, yeah. And not to say that those are equivalent. I'm just saying, like, it had like we had unbelievable odds. Not that we were the underdogs, but it had that like intensity to it, going up against our fierce rivals. And going back to all the beer throwing stuff like that, Martin, I'm here for fans to have a great time. I'm here for shit talking. I'm here as long as it doesn't get into the racist or homophobic, especially during Pride Month. I'm here to say, hey, fuck you, boo, whatever. But once you get personal, once you start like throwing stuff, and if Gio Reyna got hurt, players getting hurt, that's like crazy shit, man. You can't be throwing beer. You can't be, like, fans need to get, we've seen it in like the NBA recently and other sports around the world, where fans are thinking they're privileged a little too far when they don't realize they sign a contract when they walk into a stadium by, you know, clicking that ticket to get in. So again, I'm with you, Martin. I love the intensity, but like, let's reel it in a little bit with the beer throwing and stuff. Like, that's chaotic shit. Next thing you know, we're gonna have to have like fucking cages up like they do in South America, and people are gonna start getting killed, you know. Like, we're gonna get to a point where it's like, all right, we gotta reel it in a little bit. But I get the intensity, I get the passion, and you know, it did have like almost like Boca Juniors vibe to it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, we were down in Argentina, which is cool, but you know, I'm here for player safety, people safety. And, you know, as long as no one got hurt, that's cool. But like, let's reel it in a little bit. But hey, go USA, go Christian Pulisic, back to back trophies in 2 weeks. That's awesome. I'm excited for USA soccer. I'm still not crazy about Greg Berhalter and Berhalter Ball, but you know, it's, I just care about silverware. So that's sick.
Yeah. And obviously, you know, we'll get a chance maybe to see, Berhalter Ball in the World Cup in the next 2 years, but I'm just taken aback that USA was finally able to overcome all their demons and get that silverware. I mean, Kevin and I went to the Gold Cup in 2016, and the Gold Cup is, you know, kind of a half-assed version of the CONCACAF final, and for USA to really make crucial and positive steps over the past 4 or 5 years, it shows the direction this team and this talent is moving in. So it gives you hope for the future.
Yeah, it makes me excited about USA soccer for the first time in quite some time. Not that I've been excited about, obviously, the Weston McKinneys, Josh Sargent's, Ways, Christians, you know, our boy on Barcelona, you know, like, we got players in like the major fucking teams in Europe, and you know, it's a Sergio Dest. Sorry, I couldn't think of his name off the top of my head. But yeah, but actually seeing a win against a major rival and securing the bag, pretty fucking cool. And just the excitement over Twitter, social media, and just even like my mom fucking mentioned it. She's like, oh my God. Like, and she usually doesn't give a shit about soccer besides Arsenal. So that was, you know, kind of cool that we were like making headlines. And I think a lot of the headlines were because of how fucking crazy the fans were. But, you know, hey, it got the job done, I guess. I don't know. I may not agree with it, but hey, it gets the people going. So
you got to give the people what they want.
All right, so let's get into the real European action, Martin. Euros are in 3 days. Holy shit, I'm so pumped. I still remember watching this in Philly together when Portugal beat France with my British friend Ben visiting when we were at the, what's it called, the bar by Pat's and Gino's. What was that place called? The Garage. We were at the Garage.
Oh, God, is that where we watched the final?
Yeah, we were at the Garage.
Oh, shit.
God, I missed that spot.
That was an awesome bar.
There was Ray's Happy Birthday Bar down the street from there where he did karaoke. God, that area. And then like South Street's right there, the Italian Market. Anyway, I miss Philly a lot sometimes. But hey, Boston's opening back up, so kind of sick. No mask anywhere. So anyway, this year, I'm not sure. Besides France, who I think are the predominant favorites in this, there isn't really, you know, a team that that says they're going to run away with this. What are your thoughts on the Euros? Who are your favorites? Who's your dark horse? And who do you think is going to let us down?
Well, I'm going to go reverse chronological order of the questions that I was asked. I'm going to go first and foremost with who's going to let me down. I think Spain is going to have another fucking shitter of a tournament. In all honesty, I think the ex-Barcelona coach, Enrique, is not that great of a coach. He's a great man manager, a great talent manager. But in terms of his tactics, I just don't see it happening. And if you look at the Spanish national team over the past couple years, especially at their last World Cup performance where they had Lupe Bagatti in charge, then he resigned to go to Real Madrid, then he was rehired, and so I just don't see that happening.
There isn't Getz a single is out. They also had
a single
COVID
player
stuff
from Real or from Barcelona. So I mean, obviously that's not the only talent factories, but it's still telling when you don't have a single player representing Madrid or Barcelona on the Spanish national team. So I think Spain's going to disappoint and disappoint hard.
Who's your dark horse?
My dark horse is Germany. And yeah, I know it doesn't sound like a dark horse.
Germany.
It does not sound like a dark horse team, but there be some factors behind the dark horsiness. Their coach is leaving. They are essentially playing this tournament with a coach that is no longer going to be there when this tournament is done. And that has a huge effect on the team. I mean, it might not seem like it on
paper.
Do it for low. But at the same time, I mean, it also distracts the players. All the headlines in the press, it distracts the players. And granted, I think that Germany has a phenomenal team. But I think that little caveat in the German machine, because a German machine is a well-oiled, very complex, compartmentalized organism where every single fucking thing works as it should in its own compartment, and you put it all together and it creates a beautiful driving car. And now there is oil in the fucking fuel. There's a issue that is not present on the surface, but you know it's mulling about underneath. And so I do think this Hansi Flick upcoming appointment and the departure of Lowe is going to wreak some havoc behind the scenes. And if you look at Germany, I think they are a somewhat fragile team when it comes to controversy, when it comes to headlines and things like that. And it's been some time since Germany won something major. So I just don't see any success coming out of Bavaria this year.
Okay. One last sniff from the crotch by Joachim Löw. It'll be a bad
smell. Good.
It'll be a bad whiff. So wait, was that your dark horse, or was that you're saying they're going to put it together for Joachim Löw? That's what I'm getting.
Yes. And that's why they're my dark horse. I was defining why Germany is a dark horse candidate and why I'm not picking a team like fucking Wales, Spain. Or Spain or something like that.
So Okay, who's your favorite? Sorry, I just wanted to make sure. I was confused, but I'm just a fucking idiot. So
I was probably fucking just rambling and blacked out, and here I am now. My favorite team is England. I love England today. That's what you were asking, Martin. Right?
Yes, it's coming home. Coming home, baby.
It's coming home. I think four it's right backs. Fucking come
I guess Trent got hurt, so now three right backs, but four right backs in the starting lineup, baby. No Jesse Lingard. I don't know what the fuck they're going to do with this lineup. Is Declan Rice going to start? Is Bellingham, a 17-year-old, going to start up there with Foden and Kane?
If Henderson touches the ball once this summer, I am going to kick the ever-living shit out of him. He missed a penalty a couple days ago after he took it from Marcus's hands. And then tried to take a second one before someone marched up to him and took the ball from Jordan Henderson. Jordan Henderson can fuck so far away from the
international
team.
He's got a knock.
He's got a knock, but he's playing. Gareth Southgate is a tool.
That's all Gareth Southgate. That's what I'm saying. It's not Hendo's fault. Like, I think with
Hendo
the problem
should be a man and withdraw from the tournament.
Well, he's England's captain. He's not going to do that unless the coach says something. He's, you know, he does add something like what he does for Liverpool side work.
No, he does not.
Martin, that you know categorically that is false.
Bang average player, and he was dog shit
but,
all fucking
but somehow
season.
He fucking finds a way to bring a squad together, and I don't know how he does it. It's some voodoo fucking Scouser magic. And
has he ever done that for England? Not once, not never.
They made it to the fucking semis.
Yeah, because of Kane, not Henderson.
If Kane would have squared it to Sterling,
that's
I'll
true.
Go back.
Neither of those players are named Henderson, though.
Anyway, I'm gonna do my picks. Teams that are going to lit down at the Euros, and this is gonna be controversial. No, I'm not. I had one choice, but I'm going to change it because I don't feel good about it anymore. I'm such a bitch. I'm going to say Belgium. Belgium on paper should win this tournament with that squad. It is their golden generation, like the greatest Belgian squad ever. If like Lukaku, Kevin De Bruyne, the list goes on. Eden Hazard. And I just feel like it's going to be a massive letdown again for Belgium fans around the world. I was going to pick. Martin, I was going to pick France because the World Cup hangover, but I have way more faith, obviously, from the World Cup winning France side, who have so much depth, so much experience, so much youth. Like Pogba, for some reason, when him and Kante get together in that midfield, it's magical. And so I'm not going to do that. My dark horse, which I believe could go on to win this tournament, is Italy. I've been seeing that around. They are 27 games unbeaten in international competition. I feel as though Italy just have this just chutzpah. They got the gabagool. They got the zhuzh. They got the fucking, you know, sweaty meatballs in them, Martin. And I think they got enough heart to somehow go far in this tournament. And then who I think is going to win it? Oh, England. And I know it's going to break my heart, both our hearts, when they lose. But I want England more than anybody to finally win this. Put it together. This is one of their best squads ever. I don't know. I just want England to will this together so bad. Because on paper, with that squad that they have, they should be able to do it with other squads not doing great. But also, you got to look at Portugal, man. We haven't even mentioned Portugal. And they have one of their best squads ever with Bruno Fernandes serving it up to Ronaldo, Bernardo Silva, Ruben Dias. Like, those are all like top players in the world, all in Portugal. And this is nothing like the Portugal squad that won the Euros 4 years ago. Well, I guess five now, but you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think that's a damn good point. I totally forgot about Porto because I do think that they have a damn good chance of winning it all, especially after you name drop some of the top talent in the world. There is one other team that I do want to make a brief mention on, and this is certainly not a favorite. This is my prediction for the first team out of the tournament, and it is Netherlands. It is Frank de Boer's dumbassery reigning coming to an end. I mean, Frank the man cannot coach. He is so bad at Dude, coaching.
That and interview with lost. Mourinho is just still top tier when Mourinho just tore him a new asshole, being like, who let this guy be a coach? He's always been bad.
He is. I have no idea why Netherlands hired him. They just lost. The Netherlands just lost De Ligt and Donny van de Beek through injury. So, I mean, De Boer is so out of his fucking depth. I can't wait until he's chased by a mob when he goes back to Amsterdam or Netherlands, wherever the fuck it is. I just do not see this Netherlands team doing anything positive. I mean, it's been a long, long time since Robin van Persie and Arjen Robben and Schneider were gracing the pitch for the Dutch.
Schneider. Speaking of which, Inter Milan winning the Serie A. I don't think we've mentioned that on the show. That happened while we were gone. Kind of sick.
And Lille winning the Farmers League in France. So, I mean, shit fucking
Lille?
Is popping off.
Lille?
I refuse to try and pronounce that correctly.
But hey, it was cool for this year. You had Atletico Madrid winning with, you know, Luis Suarez, you know, what dumb business by Barcelona. And now they have Sergio Aguero, like fucking morons. Nice. Not that Aguero is bad. I'm just like,
he's not great.
Yeah. Shout out to our man in black at Atletico Madrid. We also had Liel and also, Inter Milan, who then decided to get rid of Antonio Conte because Inter Milan are fucking jabronis. So I don't understand Inter Milan, how they can just go win the title and then get anyway. That's for another podcast, I guess. I could go on and on about the problems I have with Serie A and what they're doing over there. But hey, Jose Mourinho's back in Serie A, so that's cool.
There you go, Jose. Let's see how you're doing.
Oh, Serie A. And Ancelotti is at Real Madrid. We haven't mentioned that either.
Yeah, man. All Everton fans. That's kind of a slap in the fucking dick.
Yeah, that's. Yikes. Ronald Koeman versus Ancelotti, the Everton Classico. Wow. Yeah,
10th place versus 17th place. Let's fucking see it.
Yeah, poor James Rodriguez. That sucks for him.
I heard that he's following Carlo Ancelotti back to Madrid.
He's his little puppy. He's like, Dad, no, don't leave me again.
You brought me to Merseyside. I don't like it.
And now we were at Real before, and we were at Bayern, and now I must follow you everywhere. All right. But let's get into our fan questions, because I think that'll have more Euros talk in it. But I'm fucking pumped for Euros. It starts Friday. We get tons of cool storylines. You know, North Macedonia's in there. What the fuck kind of country is that? You got the group of death with Group F with Hungary. France, Germany, Hungary, Portugal. That's fucking crazy. Jesus. You got England versus Scotland. Those two countries don't like each other. You got some fun stuff, man. And then you have, you know, remember Russia in the last World Cup and they were apparently all doping? Maybe they're still doping and they're still very good. I don't know.
Dude. Oh, all right. Something to watch out for from the Russians. They have been, and I don't know if it extends to the Euros, but they have been, because of all that doping shit, and I guess they did it in the Olympics as well. I guess they have a history of doping.
Yeah, there's this great documentary on Netflix called Icarus that goes all into it about the scandal.
Yeah. Oh, shit. I've seen that floating around. I never knew what it was about. I'll have to check that out. But one of the punishments for their whole doping regime scandal is that they are not allowed to fly the Russian flag at any event, any sporting event. So, for instance, they're obviously banned from the Olympics, I believe. But for instance, there is Martin Fraser's Formula 1 minute. For instance, there is a Russian driver in Formula 1. His name is Nikita Mazepin. He's a big old piece of shit and can't drive a car to save his life. But he cannot fly his flag on his uniform or his car because of the doping scandal. So I'd be very interested to see if Russia is allowed to wear their flag on their jerseys or to have their national anthem being sung or played on the piano or what have you, because it's a pretty big scandal. They like to dope.
Honestly, this is just anti-communist, anti-leftist propaganda, and I hate it. Come on, comrades, fly your flags. Anyway,
do your dope, fly your flags.
Yeah, do your dope, cheat. That's the communist way. Yeah. Own the means of production, comrades. Let's move on to fan questions, Martin. This is from our Twitter, @lads_podcast. Thank you to everyone who supported us and who have sent in questions. First one comes from our boy Rosie @RightRock26. He says, please skip the Champions League final. Thanks. our good friend Ryan is a Man City fan, so T's and P's to him. He went to a bar, a big Man City bar in Philly, right? He was able to get in, and he was sending photos and videos and stuff like that. He got very drunk, and he did not text us till the next day. He was very bummed. So, sorry, Ryan. We had to talk about it because, you know, it was soccer. So, our bad.
He'll be back, brother. I have no doubt about that.
You're going to win a Champions League. I'm sorry it wasn't this year, but it's going to be in the next 5 years. I guarantee.
Also, you just won the Prem again.
Again. Gosh. And you know what? You're probably going to win it next year. Yeah. So,
meanwhile, I've been sitting here for 7 odd years waiting for an actual trophy. Kev over here has been sitting around half his damn life waiting for a trophy, and you have the gall to bring up one less trophy in your cabinet. Rosie, grow up.
Bro, grow up. That's such a mean thing to say. That's like the meanest insult you can say to somebody, I feel like.
Oh, dude, I use it all the fucking time. I love it.
Hey, how about you grow up? Oh,
just grow up.
Be an adult. Next one comes from Balin Bennett. @BalinBennett says, obviously, they play different positions, but rank from most to least, with least not equivalent to worst player. This is being nice. We'll do best to worst.
yeah, thank you. Simplify this shit.
Who do you think is most more important to the U.S. men's national team? Weston McKennie, Christian Pulisic, or Tyler Adams?
Pulisic.
Pulisic won. And then I do McKennie right behind him, and then Tyler Adams.
Yeah, I'd put a pretty large gap between Pulisic and the other two names mentioned just because of the star power Christian possesses. And yeah, Tyler Adams and Weston are getting up there. Same with Sergiño Dest are getting up there in star power.
Who's the playmaker? I mean, who's creating the goals and stuff? I get the other positions are very important, but my man Christian, what I like about Pulisic, what I've never really talked about, Martin, is that he does things that remind me a lot of like Eden Hazard, where he'll do these things that are dangerous plays, but if they are successful, they are overly successful. Like when he does a take on with another player where maybe 2 out of 10 times it will not work, but when it does, it is an instant goal, which is what you need to do in soccer, is take those chances. That is, separates you. I mean, you use your talent and take those chances to take you to the next level. That's what I love about Christian. Like, because some games he'll be off a little bit, but other games you'll be like, oh wow, why doesn't he do that every game? Because he takes those chances, and I think he's going to develop that with his game. I love Christian. I think he's had not, you know, his best season yet. I think we're still waiting to get it, but I thought he's had a very good season.
Yeah, I think that Christian, and the way Christian plays, and I do mean this. I think Christian reminds me a lot of how Messi plays. Not in terms of his skill level, but the way Messi runs with the ball, the way Messi kind of cuts in from that right side of the pitch and will beat a player one-on-one either with his speed or his intelligence. And just the way Christian dribbles the ball, where he's almost running around the ball, confusing the defenders with his movement rather than the ball's movement, is so similar to the way Messi started playing soccer. And so I do think Christian has had the best season of his life. And I do believe there's room for more growth. But in terms of importance to the men's national team, I mean, you take his skill set, you take his charisma, you take his leadership qualities, his passion. I mean, I think you got to give it to Christian.
Yeah, and I love Weston McKennie, who also won a lot of silverware this year at Juventus and did great. And I love Tyler Adams as well, but it's hard for me. I'm biased. I love Christian Pulisic. Next question comes from head minister of Arsenal propaganda, Gunnar Neal. He says, rate Phil Foden's new cut out of 10. He went blonde. He went Gaza.
0.
Oh, you don't love the slim? You don't love Slim Shady?
That entire trend.
As someone who has dyed his hair blonde, me, Kevin, I love it. 10 out of 10. But he's not going through like a crisis. he's not horribly depressed and drinking and just sleeping around in Philly. No, he is actually going to go do something productive with his life.
You know, you say that, Kevin, but you forget that he got caught escaping quarantine to throw a little house party. So we never know what they're going through. Maybe it is a sign of he's not doing that great. So maybe we should check in on him.
Phil, you okay, Phil? Phil?
Fal?
Fal? Phyllis? Elon Musk hate account says, welcome back, Kings. Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
Much like to hear.
I think that is so sweet of you. I really can't appreciate that enough, Logan. Next one comes from the group chat sports podcast. Our friends Jugs and Ryan and several other of our friends say, on a scale of 1 to Dom Bomb, how drunk would a City fan have to get to forget about that loss? Honestly, not that drunk, man. You guys are going to be back. It was a tough loss. You only lost 1-0. You overthink it. And you know what? It's fine. It's going to be okay. I promise. You just won the Premier League. You almost won the quadruple this year. But I mean, not really. But I mean, that was you had that in that. Arsenal were just barely enough to get in the top 10. So come on. Chill out.
Yeah. You guys are still going to be okay. You'll be back to another Champions League final. But I'd say you have to get Dom drunk on the Super Bowl night in order to forget about that. The man showed up at 3 a.m. on my doorstep, and I didn't find him until the next morning. So, yeah, I think getting that level will erase all bad memories.
My favorite Dom Bomb is when I came out the next morning, and he was just sleeping face floor on the floor to, like, the top of our stairs, like, yeah, shirtless.
Yeah. It was beautiful.
I was just – and the couch was right there. He just said, fuck it, floor here now. And I can't I need to clap. Just Dom.
Well and Dom. You. Well Love and you. Dom. Well and lad.
Well done, lad. All right. Next question comes from our Instagram at Lads Podcast. Make sure to follow us on all our social media. Check out our websites and shit and buy some of our merch. That would be sick. King Nito 1019 says, who is the potential breakout player at the Euros and who is someone you could see disappointing? Let's see.
Both of mine are from England. I say Saka is the breakout, and Marcus Rashford is the disappointment, because he is playing on an injury that he has still not recovered from January. Mason Greenwood was smart and pulled out of the squad. Gareth Southgate is playing an injured Marcus Rashford, so yeah, Marcus is going to disappoint.
I could be mean and just say like Timo Werner for Germany, but I'm not going to do that because that would be mean. I did not say that, Martin.
What about Kai Havertz for Germany?
I think Kai Havertz would do great. He might be the breakout star. Mm. I would put him more in the breakout than Timo. But I will say, you know what's not talked about that Kai Havertz goal enough, Martin? The way that Timo Werner led out Ruben Dias. If you rewatch that clip, Timo Werner does like a dummy run to the left, like does a fake, and leaves open that so much space for Kai Havertz. So, again... Say what you want about Timo Werner and his inability to put goals in the net. He does a lot of stuff that people don't talk about.
Agreed. Wholeheartedly agreed. I think his play in general is fantastic. I really like how he plays. He just can't finish the fucking ball to save his life.
I have a shout out. Yao Felix, because I feel like I've never seen him do good. So I feel like it's finally my time to be like, oh, he's arrived.
Jude Bellingham, 17-year-old.
Ooh, I wanted to say him when you were mentioning England, like the youngsters like Saka. Damn it. That's a really good shout. Okay. Next question comes from John Matthew 89. He says, who makes it out of the group of death? Let me pull up the group of death.
Who
again.
Stays behind? Germany. It's
France, Germany, Hungary, Portugal. But Germany's your dark horse.
Yeah, well, I'm also smart.
Fair.
And we'll bet against my dark horse.
I am going to say France makes it out, and then
I say France and Porto.
Yeah, I think it is France and Portugal. I want to say like Portugal, maybe like they haven't have enough chemistry with all those players, and I don't. But if I was going to put money on it, I'm picking Ronaldo over Germany every day of the week. So France and Germany, France and Portugal make it out. Germany get left behind. Griggs JC, my favorite referee. He says, which Lyon players are going to be transferred this summer, minus Depay?
Well, Dembele.
Yeah, he gone.
And that's all I know from Lyon. Sorry, I don't follow the French.
Let me look real quick. because they did have a very nice season. They were in running up for winning they do have, what's his name, Slomani. He's pretty good. I guess we got to catch up on our Ligue 1, Martin, because I don't
specifically have a fucking... Lyon.
I'm going to say the good ones. The good players are going to leave Lyon, and the bad ones are going to stay or be transferred, not the good clubs. Okay.
Everybody's gone.
All the good ones are gone. Next question comes from Out of the Grounds 916. They say, yo, why do people think Spurs are going to be anything this season? Potato emoji.
Because Mourinho was there, and people still think he's a great, phenomenal manager, and the man's passed his time. And also, Harry Kane. You have Harry Kane.
And Son. Son, yeah. You also have players that will surprise you, like Moussa Dembele. Ndombele. Ndombele, mm-hmm. There was times where I was like, he is, you know, a crazy fucking brick house ballerina out there. So, I don't know. There were times during the season where I was like, Spurs could be the best team this week or the best team this month. But over a season, dealing with Mourinho and dealing with, you know, injuries and stuff like that, like, I don't know. They also had Gareth Bale. And then towards the end of the season, he was very good. You know, I don't know.
I'm going to use one of my favorite quotes from Kevin. And I don't know if you made this up or where'd you get it, but it's a phenomenal quote. It's the hope that gets you. That's why people thought.
It's the hope that kills you. Yeah.
That's fucking hope, man.
That's just a popular saying about just Arsenal. But
yeah, that's what I figured. I didn't know if you keyed it up or not.
No. I cannot trademark that. That's been around for probably 100 years, probably since, you know,
2004.
Since 2004, when we last won the Premier League. Next question comes from Lucas Navarro. He says, was Ancelotti the right choice for Madrid? Is Mbappe coming to Madrid this summer?
No, and no.
Yeah, Zidane would have been the correct choice if they kept him. I would have preferred, like, Maximilian Allegri.
Yes.
I would have preferred, I'm trying to think. Honestly, we just brought up Mourinho. I don't know. I don't know if Ancelotti, between him and Mourinho, they're kind of in, like, the same book right now.
Dude, I was literally just about to say that. I think there are more similarities between Carlo Ancelotti and Mourinho than we
all-time
give
managers.
For.
All-time managers.
For sure.
Are they past their prime?
They're done, maybe.
Probably.
Yeah. Like, let him go coach Everton for a couple years and retire. I said this earlier. It fucking sucks for Evertonians. I know y'all are linked with Nuno Santos at this point and some other fucking dude. But I mean, do we consider the Carlo Ancelotti Everton experiment to be an absolute failure or what?
Not a failure. But not great. It was okay.
It was C plus.
I would give it even a C+, because there were times, remember in the beginning of the season, we had the Kazoo title race, them and Aston Villa, baby. They gave Everton 2 weeks of great feelings. You can't.
They did.
So I think I was going from a C to a C+ because of that. Even Antonio Conte, that he would be awesome at Real Madrid. I would love him there. Next question comes from A_Som. He says, who is the most overhyped player heading into next season? Ooh, great question.
Oh, I got it. I got two.
Like in all of soccer? Or are we just going to stick it to
just
Premier League?
Prem. I got two. First is a youngster, and then second is going to be a regular person. First is Phil Foden. Get the fuck out of here with this Phil Foden hype. My God.
You're incorrect. Incorrect.
Good. He is good. He has flashes of brilliance.
He is very good.
He, man, can fucking get more than 1,500 minutes a season. He just started. I think that the hype train surrounding him is so silly. But I think he is the most overhyped man. I swear, and this is how I feel about a couple of the City players, with the obvious exceptions being Raz on his day, KDB, Aguero back in the day, people like Ruben Diaz, people like their goalkeeper, fucking Ederson. But I say you put Phil Foden in any other team, and he's nothing fucking special. You put him on this Manchester United team, good God. Watch him become the next fucking Scotty McSauce. And I love Scotty McSauce. Ooh, but he
I have one that'll piss you off, Martin.
Oh, I think we're going to name the same person for next year. For a regular person. If it's going to piss me off.
I was going to say Bruno Fernandes.
Yeah, we were going to say the same person.
Really?
Yeah. I'm not a blind person, and I'm not completely and totally attached to my
Manchester
fucking
United
team.
Fans are blind. Like, I have my good friend Matt. I have my good friend Matt Solka, who's in the Discord friend. He said he wants to name his firstborn after Bruno. He loves him so much. Foolish. Like,
grow up.
Yeah, like my firstborn Thomas Partey Pettit. Not great.
Kevin, you have to name him after an actually good player, not right. Thomas Partey.
Fuck. The most disappointing player of the season. That
there
would be
you go.
Mine.
If that was the question, boom, there's your answer. Him or Delaney Van de Beek.
We didn't
right
even
there,
name
right
like
here.
Most disappointing player of the last year, Martin, but I would say Partey for me easily. That was
Say Partey, Ziyech, or Donny Van de Beek. And to be fair, if Kai Havertz didn't score that goal in the Champions League, we'd be saying Kai Havertz as well.
Sorry.
Kevin, survive.
I know. I wanted to say Timo Werner, but the gods stopped me. I mean, they were like, Kevin, you must choke and die now because, you know, he had a good end to his season. I don't know. Who else? I'm trying to think of a youngster who might be too overhyped. Maybe Emile St. Rowe at Arsenal, ESR. Maybe he'll be a little too overhyped going next season. Because I really like him. I think he's great.
I do, too.
But maybe they'll say like him and Saka will lead Arsenal into the top four. I could see that. I can see those headlines, and I'll be like, those are wrong headlines. But
I
can see them.
I saw those headlines.
Probably because we're fucking delusional. We're a delusional fan base who need to be put back in check. Last question comes from Foot_LeoKing. How far will England go in the Euros, Martin? It's coming home.
It's coming home, baby. It's coming home. Yeah.
Well, football's coming home.
It's coming home. I still have that video of us drunk as shit in the kitchen. And I think I was shirtless and you were holding your cat like Simba from The Lion King. And we were just screaming, fucking it's coming home.
Three lions on the shack.
No, I'm going to send you the video of it after we get off here. It's a classic.
Fucking I can't wait for England to let us down and
oh,
I just
it's gonna put, happen
I,
so
it's
soon.
Gonna it's gonna happen so hard. All right, guys, that's our show. That's probably gonna I gotta go to me and Martin are actually hanging out this weekend in Virginia. We're going to a wedding for one of our good friends, Austin Grooms. Congratulations to Austin and
Woo!
Hannah.
Woo!
We're gonna hang out, get fucked up. So this is probably gonna be the only pod. We'll catch you next week after the first round of the Euro. So everyone, enjoy your weekend. Go England, go North Macedonia. And we love you.
Well, bye.
I'll be your dream, I'll be your wish, I'll be your fantasy.
I'll be your hope, I'll be your love, be everything that you need.
I love you more with every breath, truly, madly, deeply do. I will be strong, I will be faithful, cause I'm counting on a new beginning.
Certainty.